Hello and welcome to the very first podcast, Big Thoughts. We hope you enjoy the podcast, and if we blow your mind, more will be coming to this podcast channel soon, so enjoy.
Question 1. What existed before the universe was created?
It is difficult enough to imagine a time roughly 13.7 billion years ago when the entire universe existed as a singularity. According to the Big Bang Theory, one of the main contenders trying to explain how the universe came to be, all the matter in the cosmos. All of space itself existed in a form smaller than a grain of sand. Once you think about that, an even more difficult question arises. What existed just before the Big Bang occurred?
This question has been asked for a very long time, at least 1,600 years. 4th century theologian Saint Augustine wrestled with the question of what existed before God created the universe. His conclusion was that the biblical phrase, in the beginning, just meant that God had made nothing previously. Augustine argued that the world was not made by God at a certain time, but that time and the universe had been created simultaneously.
We can always figure out what happened before an event.
What happened before you broke your leg?
Oh, I was swinging on a swing and I jumped off.
But this is like saying that time may not have even existed before the Big Bang. So it may not even make any sense to ask what happened before. Stephen Hawking theorized the same thing, that asking what happened before the beginning of time is an impossible question to answer. It would be like asking,
what part of Earth is north of the North Pole?
The North Pole is the most northern point on Earth, and so there is nowhere north of it. So, if time and space were born at the same moment, then we can't go back further to find out what was before. Here's more from what other students think.
I think that it is kind of impossible to decide. Because if the universe started at the same time as time, how would we know, but we can guess? I think it was probably dark matter and nothing else.
Dust, ash, and nothing. But we will never know until we figure out how to time travel.
I think there was a creator of the world and he risked himself for the Big Bang. But then an impossible question comes. What made him? Then what made that? It's like that phrase, the chicken or the egg. What created the egg? And there must have been an egg to make the chicken. It is impossible to answer this question, but here's my answer. There was a molecule. It was a 1 in 1 million situation. And that created a person. He risked his life and made the world.
Our second question is, was mathematics invented or was it discovered? We had a few conversations to find if we had our own answer.
So, my belief is that mathematics was kind of discovered but also invented at the same time. So, because math you can find in nature, but nature didn't discover it. It was just originally there, and they didn't know about it. But then we came up with the thing of mathematics, that we just used those things to revert back to mathematics. And that's how we kind of thought, mathematics is in nature as well. So that's what I think.
Mine is kind of similar. I think that in the earlier time, they was sometimes they could carry two berries, and there was three people or one person, and they could make math as a term of splitting it and seeing how much they have.
I think similar to you both, because with the cave and man, they always knew what to use for their weapons, so it's not too heavy, so they use wood, so it's not too heavy.
But did they know that was math, or did they just use that as common sense? Because that couldn't have actually been math. We could have just called that math later on, and we could say, did we discover it? But they could just have said that as common sense.
But why did we call it mathematics?
Because they were problem solving.
maybe that is it. But yeah, I think math is a bit of common sense because you see a plate of you see a plate of muffins and you go, okay, there's four of us here and there's eight muffins. So we're going to go, oh, everyone can get two muffins. So it's a bit of common sense, but we also did discover it.
So basically, my answer, it's kind of the same to all of yours. So if the what he just said, if there were eight muffins and four people, they didn't know that was mathematics, but they realised it was something, and then they called that mathematics. That's what I think. And then they started doing digits, and they made a lot of different answers.
I think my answer is pretty much the same as Eli's. I think they like just knew it and then they gave it like a name and gave it a name for what they did.
Yeah, I think that sums it up.
It could have been learnt. I don't feel like it was discovered or we invented it. I feel like we just picked it up how we, well, our evolution. So one person did it, then it's basically a trend. Everyone had to do it.
I think we discovered it by someone finding stuff and we had to figure out how to say that's how many.
I think a long time ago some people made up mathematics and then they shared it to everyone else.
Well, what if it was just always in our mind but we had forgotten it when we were born?
I think that mathematics was found from someone just picking it up from some kind of entity or some kind of being from the past, maybe?
That could be possible.
Or maybe it was found by adding numbers and trying to discover how long that is and measurement.
I think it started off with adding and subtraction and then they added the multiplication and division.
I kind of also think that, but I also think they developed stuff on the way into the future.
We could have known everything. We could have been alive before the Big Bang, but we wouldn't have ever known that. So therefore, maths was invented, but we don't know yet.
It was maybe someone smart that could just... that already was really good at English and then decided to make something new.
I think that Albert Einstein was the first person to ever find it out. So I'm guessing he probably found it from the Big Bang.
I think he discovered it because he was trying to do lots of stuff that included it, but he didn't know what to do with it, so he made up a random thing with a lot of knowledge to find stuff out.
I think that he made it when he was good, when he was doing something doing with science.
So you know how the Romans made a lot of things? What if they invented maths?
I believe it was discovered because many generations before us, not humans, may have made it.
So, why did they need mathematics? What did they have to do? Like, why was there a purpose of mathematics?
To count and stuff.
And what did they need to count?
The dates.
Well, I think it's, let's say you're in the woods and some kid goes, we need eight more sticks, and then they're thinking of a quick word, like add, and then they add plus, and then they add more and more maths.
So, when you say that, but I know what you mean, but how did they discover mathematics?
I think they discovered mathematics by just thinking about something. Just something that told them that there was math.
I think there may be another story, but let's say one just said plus and then they wanted to come up with a symbol. So for people that couldn't hear, they wanted a symbol so they could know what 1 + 1 was.
So I think this will wrap up our question.
Yeah.
Question 3. What is nothing?
Scientists, philosophers, and regular people have asked this question for centuries, but we haven't found an answer. We've argued and theorized, but we still haven't found an answer.
Maybe we will, maybe we won't, who knows?
Let's take a look at what philosophers think.
Dr. Stephen Law, author of Really, Really Big Questions About Life, the Universe and Everything, says,
try thinking about absolutely nothing. Can you do it? It shows itself through things that are connected. But connectedness itself doesn't exist.
You can't point to it. So, which is more important?
Connected things or connectedness? Connectedness is more important because without it, nothing can be connected and everything is connected. This may not make much sense, but this is saying connectedness is nothing because you can't point to it, but it shows itself through actions.
But love is the same thing. You can't point to it, and it shows itself through our actions. So does anger, and fear, and sadness. So maybe there are different types of nothing.
We asked some students from Aquinas this same question, and this is what they said.
Nothing is, well, nothing. I would think it's a black room with no things inside.
I think nothing is just the absence of something.
Nothing means nothing. I think that it is a different universe.
Nothing is a place where you can relax.
I think that there's no such thing as nothing. Try to think of nothing. Well, you're thinking of something.
No, there's no such thing as nothing because if you have a colour, that's that colour. If you have something there, that's, well, it's there. And emptiness, well, emptiness is something technically.
Well, nothing is basically emptiness. It has nothing around it, nothing in it. It's just empty.
Nothing has to be something because there has to be something taking up the space that nothing is. For example, there must be a mineral or a molecule somewhere in that space that's nothing.
It's a really interesting question, a really difficult one to define, but I think nothing is infinite. So if there is nothing, it goes on infinitely forevermore.
This question has been asked for decades, centuries, and even longer. Is the universe finite? Philosophers, astrophysicists, scientists, and people of all ages have debated over which theory is correct.
There have been lots of very possible theories. We would never be able to reach the end. According to Einstein's theory, the universe is a sphere, and we will never reach the end because we would just end up where we started. Say, for instance, the universe was a sphere, just like the Earth. You can never reach the end of Earth because, well, there is no end. You are always on the edge.
So this basketball is endless?
Metaphorically, yes. If you draw a straight line on it with a marker, you'll reach the same place.
But that will wreck our only ball.
One of these forbidden books written by a Roman named Lucretius wanted the reader to imagine shooting an arrow off the edge of the universe. It will either hit a boundary or shoot out into the universe infinitely. Even if it hits a boundary, then you can stand at that boundary and shoot another arrow. Either way, the universe will be infinite.
In 1977, two spacecraft started a mission that has redefined our knowledge of the solar system and will soon become our ambassadors on a journey into the unknown. We might never know. We can only guess and theorize. We guess that anything is possible, so maybe.
We asked some Aquinians for their answers to our question, and this is what they had to say.
I think that the universe is finite, because like everything, there is an end, like a match of soccer or football.
I believe that the universe is a sphere and is therefore finite. I think that if you try to get to the end of the universe, you will end up in the same position eventually.
I believe that the universe is not finite because it just keeps on going on, and NASA just keeps on finding planets and they discover new things about the planet.
I believe that the universe is finite because there's nothing beyond nothing.
I believe that the universe is not finite because it just keeps expanding, and that's how NASA keeps finding new planets. With a universe that is continually expanding, there is no end to the discoveries we can make.
Yes, it is infinite and it goes on forever. Nobody can explore the whole universe.
A very difficult question, because I'm a very big believer in there's always a start and an end to something. But then I'm also a believer in the fact that you have to be able to prove that. Can you prove that there's an end to space? I don't think you can. So that makes me think that it's infinite, because you can't prove that it finishes somewhere.
Well, nothing is an object that you can't, name. And it's nothing you can think of, and it's an object what's unknown.
Nothing is like air or no space or stuff like that.
We hope you've enjoyed our first episode on time and space. Next episode, we're going to tackle even bigger questions with our big thoughts.
If you'd like to offer your own questions to be discussed or have answers you'd like to share them with us, please send them to bigthoughts@aquinas.wa.edu.au. And who knows, you might make it onto one of our episodes.
For now, though, we'd like to thank you for listening. And don't forget to tell everyone you know that you enjoyed listening to Big Thoughts. That's how we grow. Thank you, and remember, we are all capable of big thoughts.